especially when we get here and we sang these hymns. But David was a man who could play a harp. Now, I don't understand exactly what a harp is. I think it's something like a lute. It's not like one of these big harps you sit and do like that with. That's not what it is. It's a thing that they hold in their arms. But anyway, David could play that thing. He could really, God blessed him to play it. God blessed him to play it. And so here he comes before Saul, and God uses him before Saul to calm Saul down. But before David was ever to set up on his throne, it's going to be several years before he gets on his throne, he was tested, he was tried. And you know when the trial started? It says there in verse 13, after he was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You know, it's after we're regenerated, after the Spirit of God comes in us, and we're regenerated, and we're saved by the grace of God. That's when we start being tested and tried. I didn't have no problem with my flesh until I got converted. I had no problem with sin until I got converted. I had no problem justifying myself to anything I wanted to do until I got converted. And so it's after the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, God began to test him. God began to try him. And he's going to have to face, and here he is, he's going to have to come and face his great enemy. The one whose throne that he was going to take. Saul's the first king. David's going to be the first king. The one man chose, the second God chose. And even our Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 4, it says, after the Spirit of the Lord came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. So it's after the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man. That's when heartaches and troubles and fights within us, this war that goes on in our members, this wars that goes on in our heart, these wars that goes on with sin and flesh, all these wars, they don't start until the Spirit of the Lord comes on us and comes upon us. And before we saw David being anointed, Samuel came to anoint David. There's so many contrasts between David and Saul. First of all, we see the Spirit of the Lord come upon David. And then we see the Spirit of the Lord departing from Saul. One, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David. The next verse, the Spirit of the Lord departs from Saul. David is anointed with holy oil by a prophet. Saul is troubled by an evil spirit. Samuel in verse 1 is mourning. He is mourning over Saul, grieving over Saul. And down here in the last part of verse 23, it says Saul was refreshed and was well. Samuel started out mourning for it, and in the end of it, Saul was refreshed and was well. Samuel came to Jesse with a heifer for sacrifice. And then you see Jesse, in verse 20, sends David back there, comes with a heifer for sacrifice, and then Jesse sends David in verse 20 with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid sent to him by David unto Saul. And David was acceptable in God's sight when all those seven men paraded before Samuel. All the seven brothers of David. One hadn't even been invited, and they said, well, go fetch him, go get him, go bring him here. And a young man, just a boy, came in there. Maybe 16, 17, 18, I know he was the youngest one. And when he got there, God said, this is he. This is him. This is him. It's like John said to all his disciples with him. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, said, that's him. That's the behold, that's the Lamb of God. Are you the Christ? No, I'm sent just to bear witness of him. And who the Spirit of God comes on as a dove, he said, that'll be him. That'll be him. And oh, David was acceptable in God's sight. God said, this is he. Arise and anoint him. And then he also turns around and finds favor in Saul's sight. He says there in verse 22, "For he has found favor in my sight." And before he was ever called and anointed, he was tending sheep. He was a shepherd. And now he's going to play his harp in the king's palace. And there, it says there in verse 14. Let me start in verse 14 and go down through these verses, say a few things about it. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." And I want you to notice this, "and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." The spirit departed from him, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Why did the Lord's spirit depart from Saul? Because he didn't obey the word of God. God told him what to do. Told him, "When you go down to Amalek, I want everything down there killed. I want everything killed. I don't want nothing saved. Nothing." But Samuel comes back and Samuel says, "What's this bleating of the sheep that I hear?" He said, "Well, the people wanted these. We kept the best, and we even brought Agag the king, and the people made me do this." He said, "The people, they said, we want to have the best." So they kept it for themselves. Said, "We're going to use them for sacrifice." And oh my. Well, Samuel rebuked him. Rebuked him hard. Said, "Oh, which is better? Which is better? To offer all kinds of sacrifices to the Lord? Or to obey? Which is better?" That's what our Lord said. He said, "I'll have mercy. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't need your sacrifices. The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine." And he said, "I'll have mercy. I don't want your sacrifices. I have mercy. You come seeking mercy." And that's what we do. We come seeking mercy. What sacrifice could we bring to even get God to give us mercy? And so he comes there. And the consequences of him not obeying God is that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And I'm going to say some things about this. Matthew Henry says this, "Drive away the good spirit and you become a prey of an evil spirit." And if God in His grace doesn't rule us, God in His grace doesn't rule us, sin and Satan will. They'll do it. Sin and Satan will possess us. Says an evil spirit from the Lord. I want you to look with me. Now you keep Samuel, 1 Samuel. Look in Hebrews 10:9. Hebrews 10:29. I want you to look at something with me. The Scripture says much about grieve not the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. And I tell you something. Here's one of the reasons why America is in the shape it's in. I was listening to Brother Henry preach today, and he talked about at that time he was 80. Now he's 92. So this has been 12 years ago he brought this message. And he's talking about being a boy in Alabama, raised in a little town in Alabama. He said, I was a grown man before I ever heard of a homosexual. I didn't know what one was. He said, everybody walked to school. You didn't worry about child abuse. And he said, you know what made the difference? I said, people used their Bibles back in those days. Used their Bibles when you was a boy. They heeded the Word of God. They were, even if people in the community had some respect. And he says, now nobody has real respect for Christ, for His Word, or nothing else. And that's what happened to him. When men don't have respect for the Word of God, and men don't have regard for the Scriptures, and when men don't have regard for Christ, and His name is just a byword to them, then you're talking about a people like Saul. God said, I'll leave you to yourself, and not only that, but I'm going to send an evil spirit and let him trouble you. Look what he said here in Hebrews 10:29. Well, in verse 28, it says this. He that despised Moses' law. You despise it. You say, I don't want it. I hate it. And I ain't going to obey it. Died without mercy. Without mercy. The law can't show mercy. Under two or three witnesses. Of how much worse or how much sore punishment. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was set apart, counted an unholy thing, and that unholy thing means to count it as a common thing. It's nothing special, nothing different, nothing glorious, nothing special, nothing holy. They count it as a common thing and done despite under the Spirit of grace. Now that's what Samuel, that's what Saul did. And I tell you something, beloved, if a man, I wouldn't be in nobody's shoes for nothing in this world, that comes and hears the gospel for a while and turns and walks away from it. And that's what he did. That's what he did. And you know why it happens to people? They've never been regenerated. He had never been regenerated. He had never been set apart by the Holy Spirit. You know what the difference between him and David was? He was man's choice. People said, listen, we want that man. He's tall. He's a head taller than anybody else. He's more handsome than anybody else in Israel. And said, well, God said, Samuel told him, said, if you take him, you're rejecting God. You take him, you're rejecting what God said. Would you rather have this man reign over you or have God rule over you? Who would you like to have to be your master, God or the man? I want God to be my master, don't you? I want God to rule over me. I wished I was a puppet on a string and God could do me any way he wanted to. But that's not the way he made us to be. But oh my, here's the people's choice. But David was God's choice. And the Holy Spirit, he comes to many. The Holy Spirit comes to many. There's been lots of people here the Holy Spirit's come to. But when he comes to a person, that don't mean he's going to regenerate them. No, no. No, no. Do you know what Peter said? He said that when a person, it'd be better for a person to have never had a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to depart from him. He's worse than a dog going back to its vomit and a hog to its water. And oh, it's like Balaam. You know, you've heard about going in the way of Balaam. You know what Balaam's problem was? This king hired him to come and curse Israel. Israel, God's chosen people. He is a prophet. You come over here and we're going to give you a room full of money and we're going to give you a closet full of clothes if you'll come over here and curse Israel for us. God said, now listen, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And he gave him eyes to see, and he made a prophecy to him. Said, I can't do that. I can't go back on what God said. But he went again and again and again and again when God told him not to. And he was on his way one of the times, and there was an ass in the scriptures is a great old big animal, not these little old burros they got in Mexico. It's a great old big animal. He was going through there, and an angel stood in the way with a sword. He was going to go curse God's people because he wanted the money. He wanted to get paid. He liked all that wealth. He kept going against what God said. And there was an angel, Lord, standing there with a sword. And that mule wouldn't go. That mule wouldn't go. And he got off and kicked him. And you know what God did? He spoke through that ass and told Balaam, he said, don't you see that? God warned that, forbade the madness of the prophet. Now I tell you what, that's what happens to people without the Spirit of God. And Balaam now, everything you hear about Balaam is the way of Balaam, the way of filthy lucre, the way of being paid, the way of doing everything you do for money. And there's lots of preachers out there like that. It's kind of like when that unclean spirit went out of a man's house. It's what we're talking about, the Spirit of the Lord departing. Unclean spirit went out of a man's house. He said, listen, I'm gonna leave here, and I'm gonna go out and leave him. And he went out seeking rest. Seeking rest, and then walked it through all the dry and everything, and he said, well, he said, I ain't find no rest out here. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to that house. And that means a person. He said, I'm going to go back to that house that I came out of. Well, he got in that house. And when he got there, he found it swept and he found it garnished. He didn't find it washed in the blood. He didn't find it regenerated. He didn't find it trusting Christ. He didn't find it worshiping God. He didn't find it called on God. He found it swept and garnished. What does that mean? That means that the fella joined the church. And he started doing something for Jesus. And he got him some crosses and put on the back of his car. Got him a picture of Jesus and hung it up on the wall. Got him a cross and hung it around his neck. And if it's a woman, he got some cross earrings, stuck them in her ears. Swept and garnished. Oh, it looked good. He said, man, oh man. He said, I'm going to move back in there. And he took 7 unclean spirits with him. And the condition of that man was worse than at the beginning. Oh, that's the thing, boy. Don't be swept and garnished. You know, garnished. You go to these real nice restaurants. You know, I don't get to, I've been to one or two, you know, at the... But anyway, they garnish things up. You go into one of these real expensive restaurants, and they'll bring you a little old plate of food and be real expensive. And it don't, you know, they don't give you enough food to feed you, but they got it all decorated up. Got it all decorated up. They got, you know, it's the presentation. They got it all garnished up. Got it all decorated up. And that's what religion does without Christ. It decorates people up. Don't it? And they got no substance to it. And oh my. But let me go back over here to 1 Samuel 16. Now look in verse 15. His servants knew what his problem was. Down verse 15. Oh, Saul's servants knew what was wrong with him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles you. Oh my. They knew what his problem was. And they gave him a remedy. They said, and I tell you, and listen to this now. In verse 16, let our Lord now command thy servants. They didn't say, well, listen, we know where somebody is that can help you, and we'll go find them. He said, they understood that he was the king, that he had the authority, and we will not go until you command us to go. You're the one with the power. You're the one with authority. So you command us and we'll go. And to seek out a man, a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass that when the evil spirit from God's upon you, he shall play with his hand, thou shalt be well. They knew the problem and they knew the remedy. But you know what they should have told him? They should have said, you know what your problem is? You know why the Spirit of the Lord has departed from you? Because you're a high-minded, proud, arrogant, full of yourself, disregarding God, disregarding His Word, and just be honest with Him. That's what they should have told Him. And listen, we'll tell Samuel to come down here and have Samuel pray for you and intercede for you. And maybe God will have mercy on you. I remember us down in the islands preaching one time, and I think I've told you this. There was a preacher preaching down there with us, and he had taught preaching out at Duke University. This fellow had. Well, he got up and he preached and he preached and he preached. When he got done, got to the back of the church, I told him, I said, "You didn't come in spitting distance of the gospel. You didn't even get close to the gospel." He said, "Well, I wasn't preaching the gospel." And I said, "Well, why wasn't you?" He said, "I was preaching apologetics." What's apologetics? You know what that means? You're trying to convince everybody that God's word's true, and that apologetics means that you're trying to convince everybody God's true and His word's true, instead of just saying God is. And I told him who he ought to listen to. And you know, the next year, Greg Amquist went down there, and he had the same preacher back there. And he was up preaching, and Greg was sitting about where Brad is. And Greg hollered out, "You're lying! You're lying! You're telling a lie!" He called him out while he was preaching. And that's what they should have done with this fella. When you're preaching with a man, when you're preaching with somebody, if they don't preach the gospel, it's our responsibility to tell them, "You missed it." What kind of preacher would I be if I was preaching with somebody who didn't know the gospel, if I would not confront them over it? And I would hope, and Henry Mahan did me that way. I was talking to him one day when I was in 1979, and he put his finger in my eye and said, "You're talking out of both sides of your mouth." He said, "You got to figure out which one you're going to be. You're going to be an Arminian, or you're going to be believe grace? Because you can't do both at the same time." He dealt honest with me. And that's what these fellows should have done with King Saul. Said, "Saul, I know why this is happening to you. And man, you call that prophet over here, and you repent, and you go to God, and ask God to forgive you, and ask God to show mercy to you." But that's not what happened. But I will say this. If God ever sends conviction to you, ever convicts you over sin, or something you're doing, and troubles your conscience over your sin and your relationship with God, whatever you do, do not stifle that. Do not stifle that. Don't do it. If God starts dealing with you in your conscience, God starts convicting you of where you're at and what you're doing and what kind of person you are, if God does that for you, whatever you do, don't quit it. Don't quit it. Don't do that. And I tell you what, it says here in verse 17, "And Saul said unto his servants, provide them now," okay, if that's the way it's going to be, and did you all think that's what it is? "Well, then go provide me a man who can play well and bring him to me." Now, God's purpose is being carried out. God's going to carry out His purpose. And you know, David didn't know what was going on, and Saul didn't know what was going on. But God knew what was going on. God had a purpose. And oh, listen, one of them, look what they done. Look how they describe David now. Look how they describe David, verse 18. "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite." I've seen him. I've seen this young man, this David, this son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite. And watch this, he's cunning in playing. I mean, he is exceptionally good at playing. Very, very good at playing. And then he's a mighty and a valiant man. You know, a valiant man is a... You know, they decorate soldiers and that for valor, for being valiant. I've seen a fellow today had a hat on said Silver Star. He won a Silver Star in Vietnam and had a cap on said that. That's for being valiant. And they give you stars for valor on certain medals and things that you give you. Being valiant. And old Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, there was a man in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress called Mr. Valiant for the Truth. Valiant. strong, true, scruples, integrity. And look what happens now. And not only is he a mighty valiant man, honest, true, faithful, loyal, and he's a man of war. Oh my, if you need him to fight, he can fight. And then look what he said. And he's prudent in his matters. Oh, he's a wise man. He's got some sense. He's got some sense. And he's a comely person. Very, very nice looking person. But this is the number one reason. Listen to this next line. And the Lord is with him. All that rest of that stuff don't amount to nothing. But when he said the Lord is with him, that's the greatest thing you can say about her. The Lord is with him. Huh? All that other stuff that, and you know, they said, oh, he's all this, but and the Lord's with him. That's what we want to hear. The Lord's with us. Is the Lord with him? Is the Lord for him? That's what they said about him. Oh, the most blessed thing about him is the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. And oh my. Wherefore Saul, he sent for David, sent messengers unto Jesse, and send me David thy son. Now watch this. That's with the sheep. He's still out there taking care of the sheep. He's like our Lord. He's about the Father's business. He's taking care of the Father's business. He's taking care of his sheep. And our Lord Jesus Christ, you talk about making music. Oh, he can make music. He got. You know, I've often wondered when they got up after he got up out of the Garden of Gethsemane and they sung a hymn, or after they took the Lord's table and they sung a hymn. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ as he was singing as a man? Can you imagine his voice? I believe he's the best singer. David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. You imagine what Christ is, hear his voice singing. But oh, he said, for David. And he sent for David, and here's one thing he didn't know. He didn't know that he was a successor to his throne. That young man is going to come over there. He didn't know that he was a successor to his throne. Huh? Oh my. Send me David. Send me David. And what's this? Thy son. Mm-hmm. Thy son. God sent the son of David. Sent him. And he said, David was brought from the sheep. Christ was sent to save sheep and tend sheep and care for sheep and find sheep. And oh, here's a great, great test for David now. David was called. And I tell you, beloved, he was called. He'd already been anointed to be king. And he knew what he was anointed to. And his family knew what he was. His brother knew what it was. He was anointed king to command, to rule over other men and to rule over and rule the nation of Israel. But now, before he ever gets to his throne, he's called to be a servant. Called to be a servant. Huh? Well, how did he respond? How did he respond? He'd just been in the house and Samuel poured oil on him. How did he respond when he said, send me David? Was there any unwillingness on his part? Was there any delay on his part? Any complaints on his part? No. No, he got up and went that way. That's the way our master was. When God sent him, he did not complain. He came for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. No, listen. And it tested his courage also. Does Saul, he says, this may be what he's thinking. Does Saul know that I've been anointed to be king? And is this a trap for him to kill me and to take my life? Is that what's going on here? Oh, it's a great test for David. But look what happens there in verse 20. And Jesse took an ass, loaded it down with bread, and a bottle of wine. It wasn't a bottle of wine like we get. It's a big old skin full of wine. and a kid, and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. You know why he sent these unto Saul? Because Saul was in need. Saul was in need. He was in need of David. And beloved, you know why God sent Christ? Because we're in need. He sent him into this world because we're in need. And he brought food for Jesse. Christ come to be our bread. He took bread to Saul. Christ came to be our bread. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit represents this. The wine represents the Holy Spirit. And the joy that it brings us. Huh? And oh my, it was our dire needs. It caused God to send His beloved Son. David loaded with these gifts from Saul. And Christ came full of gifts. In fact, Christ Himself was a gift. And when Christ came, all the gifts that He brought with Him. You know what the greatest gift He brought for us? He brought the gift of forgiveness and righteousness and put away our sin. Put it away once and for all. What a gift! And then turn around and give us the righteousness of God. What a gift! And why did He do it? Because He loved us. Because He loved us. He loved us. God loved us and sent His Son. And His Son loved us and gave Himself for us. Oh, He come loaded with love and mercy and grace and pity and forgiveness. And just everything we need, He brought it. And listen, and I said they were gifts. Oh boy, I got to hurry on here. David came to Saul, verse 21. David came to Saul and stood before him. David left his home. Why? Because his father wills for him to go. Christ left his home in glory because his father willed for him to come. The anointing was upon him, but he came here to be a servant, to serve this king, to serve even his enemy. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to minister unto us. Left his home and came down here. And David came to Saul. Why? God was preparing him, trying him, training him. God don't just, when a man, God does something for a man, he don't automatically, you know, he's got the office, but he's got to train him, he's got to try him, he's got to prove him. And God was preparing him, trying him, training him. And you know how he was training him? He was seeing how a king was not to act. When he watched what Saul did, he said, "This is not how a king acts. Don't act like this, David. Don't act like Saul does. You obey God. You keep His word. You honor God. You seek the Lord." He was seeing how a king was not to act and how one was to act. And God put David in Saul's presence just like He put Pharaoh in put Joseph in Pharaoh's house. God did this. And you know what it says? David was willing to watch. To watch. David was willing to wait. David willing to learn. David was willing to grow. Until time for God to put him on the throne. And oh, David, by God's hand, made even his enemies to be at peace with him. Look what he said in verse 21. David came to Saul and stood before him. And listen to this. And he loved him greatly. Who loved him? Saul loved David greatly. And he became his armor bearer. Oh my. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." David, by God's hand, This is what God does. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Here Davis, you know, Davis said, He prepareth me a table in the presence of mine enemies. This is exactly what God's doing for David here. Preparing a table for him in the presence of his enemies. Uh-huh. And I tell you, ain't that what our Lord Jesus Christ did? He came here, and we were God's enemies. Christ came into this world, and bless His name, He slew that enmity that was in us, and He established peace, and He reconciled us to God. We were enemies of God. Christ came, and because He pleased the Father, and He did something for us, He made us, His enemies, to be at peace with Him. Be at peace with Him. He established peace. And then He said, He's found favor in my sight. If we find favor, now listen to me, I want you to hear this. If I find favor in your sight, or we find favor in one another's sight, or we find favor in anybody's sight, or are loved by anybody, it's God's blessing. It's God's blessing. It's God's blessing. If I find favor in your sight, God did that. If you love me, God did that. If you find favor in my sight, and I love you, God did that. God did that. Ain't that right? Huh? God's blessings. Oh my. And look what it says in verse 23. And I'll wind it up. And it came to pass, and it always does, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. David did whatever God gave him to do, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. David did whatever God gave him to do. And David was skillful on the harp. But man and instruments in themselves are powerless without God's blessings. God blessed him. And that's the way it is with preaching. That's the way it is with preaching. That's the way it is with preaching. You know, the apostle said, who is sufficient for these things? And we all like some preachers we like better than others. We like to hear others, you know, with some. I have preachers that I delight to hear. I like to hear all of them, but there are some that I enjoy better than others, and I'm sure you do too. But here's the thing. If a man's preaching the gospel, here's how it goes. One plants, one sows a seed, one plants. Another comes along and he waters. But you know what it says? The seed planter and the water boy ain't nothing unless God gives the increase. Ain't that right? Oh, ain't you grateful that we're the hands of God? God gives the increase. And we know that. I know that as a preacher. If Bruce will get here, he'll tell you the same thing. He said, God just won't let us. He's going to keep us in the dust. And He does. Our Father. Oh, our Father. Blessed be Your name for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank You for Your precious Word. Oh, how it blesses us. I say it all the time, Lord. It encourages us. It comforts us. It strengthens us. It feeds us. It gives us light. Gives us instruction. Oh Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for these saints. God bless them. Lord, keep them and preserve them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. Your sins are pardoned and you are free. They're all taken away. taken away. They're all taken away, away. They're all taken away, away. They're all taken away, away. My sins are all taken away. Sins are all taken away.
Gone.
See you Sunday.